And you might get some temporary satisfaction out of it, but then what happens? In the month, you get a bill. And then you look at it and you say, did I do all that? Yes, you did. Did I really want to do all that? Maybe. Maybe not. Jesus asked, I think, the best question. What's in your heart? Not what's in your wallet. What's in your heart? What's in your heart? What's in my heart? That's what Jesus was concerned about. And he was most concerned of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us. Because he told us he was leaving to prepare a place for us, but we would receive his Spirit. And it would be with us and would be working through us. So we go back to the question, what's really in our heart? What is it that's most important to us? And is it the love of God and the love of one another? Peace, joy. Are they the things that are in our heart? You see, sometimes our lives get messed up. Amen? They get messed up. And sometimes it's we that messed them up, and sometimes we just happen to be at the wrong place at the right time. And so things happen. They do. But God does not abandon us. He still loves us. And I'm going to kind of use a popular expression. I'm going to talk a little bit about the poster boy of the Old Testament. Who might I be talking about? Who might be one of the most beloved figures in the Old Testament? Starts with a D. David. David. David, he took out Goliath. He was effective on the battlefield. He was a beloved king. He had resources. But then he had Saul, didn't he? Before he became king, David and Saul, did they exactly get along? No. In fact, Saul wanted him dead. Then we have David and his relationship with Bathsheba. Did that go well? No. Did not go well. Was there some heartache there? Yes, it was. In fact, David had to figure out how to take care of Bathsheba's husband, so he sent him to the front line, and he did what? Died. What kind of person does that? And I'm not trying to speak bad about David, but remember we talk about what are we capable of doing? A lot of things. A lot of things. David and Absalom, his son, did they get along? No, they had some issues. If you would, turn to Psalm 51. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. I read it often. I find it very helpful. Because here we see David dealing with everyday life. And I want to look at verses 6 through 13. Surely you desire integrity in the inner self. Now, given what we've just said about David, did he have some issues with integrity? Yeah, he kind of breached it a little bit. And he knew it. Remember, he wasn't even allowed to build the temple. Solomon did that. Surely you desire integrity in the inner self, and you teach me wisdom deep within. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Turn your face away from my sins and blot out all my guilt. David is confessing here. Blot out all my guilt. In other words, he was having to live with a lot of the stuff that had gone on in his life. Did he have baggage? Absolutely. And he had to deal with it. Then verse 10. God, create a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit. Clean heart. In other words, transform me. We desire to be transformed. That's what Jesus does, and that's what the Holy Spirit will do. Create in me a clean heart. David's not the only one asking that. We are also asking that. Create in me a clean heart. Transform me from the inside out. And a steadfast spirit, one that can hold on no matter how bad it is. One of my favorite images in movies is the one where Captain Dan and Forrest Gump is sitting there in the storm. He's up there in the mast, and it's raining, and it's thundering, and it's lightning, and he's hollering at God. And I'm thinking, I got you. I know what you're talking about. But he's holding on. He's holding on. Do not banish me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. You see, in the Old Testament, you were anointed by the Holy Spirit. David does not want that anointing to be removed because he knows that it is God's blessing upon his life. He doesn't want to lose it. Restore the joy of your salvation to me and sustain me by giving me a willing spirit. Then I will teach the rebellious your ways, and sinners will return to you. So you see, David knew there had to be a change. Excuse me, a change from within, a change from the inside out. And see, Jesus told us that. What defiles us is what comes what? From within us. What comes out of our hearts, so to speak. The bottom line is, the world will tempt us with a lot of temporary satisfaction, but it cannot give us complete joy, and it does not give us that peace which passes all understanding. But God can give us that through Jesus Christ our Lord, and we are sustained in that through the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. If you'd like to be turning to that, please do so. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. We want to pay attention to the life we are living. Remember, we started out, our life matters. Is there somebody watching you? Absolutely. I don't think Johanna will remind me saying this. She was out shopping yesterday, putting the children in the car, left her pocketbook in the shopping cart, turned around, and guess what? It wasn't there. Now, by the end of the day, it was recovered. And that's a miracle there. But things happen, don't they? Somebody's always watching. Somebody is always watching. Now, my thing is, we want to be mindful of our surroundings. And that's something, that's where children are so vulnerable, because they're not always mindful, because they're so trusting. We need to be mindful of our surroundings, but we want to pay attention to how we're living as well. Because our life is our witness. You say, well, I can't share my faith with someone. I can't speak to them. Well, the situation has to be right for persons to hear you when you're speaking. But don't worry, we're all speaking by the lives that we live. We're constantly speaking because our life is our witness. That is the best witness we have. And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not so good. Like Jesse told me, I saw what picture you're going to have. It was when you were banging on the printer. I said, yeah. It's a witness. People are always watching. So what does Paul have to say? Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 15 through 21. Pay careful attention then to how you live. Not as unwise people, but as wise. Making the most of the time because the days are evil. Do we live in chaotic times? Yes, we do. Do we live in times where there is a lot of things that are not godly taking place? Yes, we do. Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. It's important that we seek God's will. Not our will be done, but God's will be done. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual song, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord. That's also called worship. That's what we're here today for. In this part, giving thanks always for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and then submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. The Spirit, it changes us. May our lives be filled with the Holy Spirit, and may we be able to get along. That's really how it says, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. In other words, being able to get along with each other. It's important. Because sometimes we just have issues. But in Christ, we are one. So that gets me to the application. And that's the Holy Spirit. Over these next 10 weeks, may we be able to learn how, or be more receptive, let's put it this way, be more receptive to receiving the Holy Spirit in our life and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us and to direct us, that we can be more committed disciples and that we may become spiritual disciples, pillars of the church. We may be small, but can we be mighty? Absolutely. Pillars, spiritual mothers and fathers, spiritual brothers and sisters. Who among us does not need a godly friend, a compassionate friend? We all do. These children, they face things at their age that we never faced. May we be spiritual parents to them. That is something that we can do. When they come in each and every Sunday, they're bringing everything in their life with them. And yeah, they may not act as you want them to act, but they're going to act as they are. And we are here to greet them and to help mold them and to be spiritual parents for them. Phil and I are going to be basing some of our remarks on a book, and it's one, if you would like to get it and read it, I'll encourage you to do it. It's by Jack Hayford, Hayford, Living the Spirit-Formed Life. Living the Spirit-Formed Life. And it's growing in 10 disciplines. And we're going to be dealing with all 10 of these disciplines as ways that we can mature spiritually. So Jack Hayford, Living the Spirit-Formed Life. In this book, Hayford reminds us that it's one thing to be spirit-born. It's another thing to be spirit-filled. And it's another thing to be spirit-formed. So born, filled, and formed. Born. We're sinners, saved by grace. That's the new birth. Recognizing that, acknowledging that, accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Being spirit-filled is receiving the Spirit that Christ promised us. He promised us that I will give you my Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which will reside in each one of us. Do we understand what that is? Do we know that the presence of God is with us? And that Jesus is at work in our life, transforming us, not into being more selfish, but being more what? Christ-like. Being more Christ-like. Transforming us. And then spirit-formed. The power of the Holy Spirit. The disciplines of the Holy Spirit. That continuous transformation of our life. You know, we used to say when we were younger, there's a song to it, and I can't remember the exact words of it, but God ain't finished with me yet. Well, that's true. We're all a work in progress. We're all works in progress. Christ working within us continuously, a continuous transformation, a continuous renewal. Then I want to close today with this. Y'all remember Peter, right? You gotta love him. Peter was headstrong. He often spoke before he thought. He made commitments that he couldn't keep. And then what did the Lord do? Forgave him and said, on you, on this rock, Petros, Peter, I will build what? My church. Now, here's my thing. Jesus knew he could count on Peter. And I'm not trying to guilt anybody here, so don't take this the wrong way. Can Jesus count on us to continue to be the pillars of faith, to continue to spread the message, to continue to live the life which shows the world that we are the light of the world? That's that spirit-filled life, a spirit-driven life. Jesus is entrusting us to continue to share the message. That's why he gave us the Great Commission. He trusted Peter, and he trusts us. So let me close with this verse of Scripture. 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Because sin enslaves us. But where the Spirit is, we experience freedom from sin and freedom from death and life everlasting. We all, with unveiled faces, are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Each one of us is being transformed daily by the presence of the Holy Spirit within our lives, working within us, helping us to be closer to Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and to be less selfish and more Christ-like. This is the form from the Lord who is the Spirit. May we never forget that. We worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen? Amen. Now, looking ahead to next week, Phil will be introducing us to one of the first spiritual disciplines, and it's hearing the voice of God. Don't worry, if God speaks to you and you hear it, you're not crazy. If you hear, learning how to hear the voice of God.